Well, good morning, everyone. I feel the pressure of trying to do justice to a passage of Scripture, everyone's very familiar with this portion, and it's how can I really do justice with any words that I share this morning? But we just pray that the Lord will really open our eyes. We might be able to see wonderful things out of His Word. And what we're going to be looking at today concerns a portion of Scripture beginning verse 26 of chapter 1, moving on to verse 56. And there are some tremendous words that are spoken, and it had tremendous ramifications for the future of the people that were in the immediate vicinity, but also for the whole human race. And so, the song that we just heard kind of speaks out about those implications. Just how much did Mary, did she understand all that at that time? I think it was there was a learning curve there for her. And on more than one occasion it says that she pondered these things and thought about them. And she was thinking of them in her heart, and she just would take this in and think it over. Something that we should often do with our as we look at Scriptures, and then as we come in contact with certain situations from day to day. All around, as we I go on my walks, I've been seeing people preparing for Christmas. There, people are setting up lights. Maybe they're doing that more than they would normally, because they can't do anything else. They can't prepare for company. There's just so many things that they're restricted from, and so you just see evidences of people setting up their lights. And as I was just counting the number of houses that I was walking by that people have put lights up on their fences and on their trees. And it's kind of, especially if you're walking at dusk, it kind of adds to the, it makes it more enjoyable. Well, I tried to divide what we're going to be looking at this morning into three sections. There's the scene where the angel Gabriel comes and announces the news of what is about to happen to Mary. Then there's the event that occurs when Mary rushes off and travels maybe 80 miles down to the hill country in Judea, and meets with her much older cousin Elizabeth. And then the final section is Mary's song of praise, as otherwise known as the Magnificat. That's a lot of Scripture. And there's a lot of very precious things in there. So as I was thinking about today, I thought about today's the 6th. Today is St. Nicholas Day. And we might not give it hardly a thought. But speaking of remembrance, I was thinking about remembering when I was a kid. I was growing up as a kid in Belgium. Not only is Belgium was a very Roman Catholic country, but it also is a country where they speak a foreign language. And so I remember when I was a child, there are things that I couldn't understand. And One of the things I figured out, though, as I got into first grade, was that St. Nicholas Day, for a lot of these kids, was the most important day rather than Christmas, because Christmas was more of a adult get-together type of meeting. St. Nicholas Day, that was the day you would get presents and stuff like that. So at school, they offered these the presents that you could get, and you had to make a choice. Unfortunately, the choice I tried to make, it was kind of restricted by the fact that I didn't understand a lot of what they were saying, the words that they were sharing. So I just pulled this picture out. This gives you an idea. This is the back, around 1950 or something like that. This gives you an idea of how important St. Nicholas Day was in Belgium. They had this great, and here's the big department store downtown. They had this huge image of St. Nicholas. Au bon marché. Saint Nicolas est arrivé. Saint Nicholas has arrived. So this is a big deal. And so I had to figure out what I was going to choose, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. So I finally, Otto. Well, that's almost the same word as English. So I said, okay, I think I'm pretty safe if I get that. So I found this old picture of kind of one of those rinky-dink cars where you have this cord attached to it, and you push a button, and the car starts moving along, and you had to kind of follow along behind it to keep the car going and make sure it went in the right place. And sounds ridiculous now, but that was what I got for St. Nicholas Day, and a lot of the other memories sort of got faded down. And fortunately for us, there was a lot more precise, clear record of what is necessary to remember concerning the first Christmas. And so that's what I'd like us to start looking at. So fortunately, Dr. Luke took great care in recording the things that needed to be recorded about the birth of Christ. And there are things that we wouldn't know except for the fact that Luke recorded them. And it could very well be that some of the things that we are going to be looking at this morning were actually remembrances of Mary herself. There are other things that maybe the Holy Spirit could have just brought in and said, well, okay, this is something that I want you to know about this time. So that's possible as well. Be that as it may, let's look at this is kind of an outline of what we're going to start with. Gabriel's announcement on the one hand, and then Mary's response to that announcement and the explanation that Gabriel gave. So let's just read the text. Chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, that's 6 months after Elizabeth had, after Zacharias had the announcement about the birth of John the Baptist. So 6 months after what we were looking at last week, 6 months. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So here you have, just in all the simplicity and the essential facts of what happened on that occasion when the angel Gabriel was sent into this world to announce the birth of the Messiah. And you can just think of how for ages the people of Israel had been longing for, had been waiting, had been speculating, had been predicting, had discussed. What would happen? What would be the circumstances? What would be what would this person be like? And here, the moment had arrived. But then, notice, Mary, when she saw the angel, she was troubled. So here you have a somewhat similar reaction as Zechariah. He was more terrified. She was confused. And I just want to stop here, because I don't have this in my outline, but the probable age of the person to whom Gabriel was speaking, much closer to 12 than 18. I was just trying to take that in as I was studying this. How a young person like that would have the maturity and capacity to understand what's going on? It really stirred me. I started thinking back. Well, okay, I was a little beyond the toy car level that we were talking about on the previous screen, but I don't think I would have been in any condition to accept that message. And here is God sending an angel to announce the birth of his son to a person who's going to be caring for the most precious person, God, second person in the Trinity. I mean, I'm just trying to get my mind wrapped around that, and it just seems like it's too much to absorb. Anyway, Mary didn't know at first exactly what was going on. She just was troubled. What kind of highly favored? Why am I highly favored? The Lord is with me. Well, I mean, that kind of announcement had been given to Gideon, and he was going to have to fight a battle. But here, what was she going to have to do? She was troubled at his saying. I considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." That fear not that you see so often in Scripture. Ever since those early days when sin had come into the world, there's fear in the human heart. That fear not, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I just don't know just how much those words, as she was hearing them for the first time, how much those words would register with her. So go back to this outline. The humility of the circumstance. The humble house that Gabriel had entered. You know, as we're looking at this, I'm just going to be moving ahead and backwards and forwards with the outlines here. I think of this scripture that we see in 2 Corinthians, and it's a scripture that we use for talking about when we're taking up an offering or that sort of thing, but it speaks very loudly concerning what we're looking at this morning. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And he became poor so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Now, by any standard, you pick out anyone in this audience, compared to Mary and Joseph, we would be considered rich by that standard. Just something to keep in mind. And then another verse that popped in my mind as I was thinking about this, how he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. As if it were not a great enough step to come down to become a man and join the creatures of this earth, as opposed to him being the creator, as if that wasn't enough, and going to a people that were under the rule and authority of the Roman Empire, so you're not exactly in control of your destiny. Then you go to a place that's, well, one guy said this. Mary was a nobody from a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. That's what someone described Nazareth and what where the Son of God was going to be raised. I thought this was interesting. Something that Martin Luther, some of his thoughts as he was considering what we're considering this morning. He said he might have gone to Jerusalem and picked out Caiaphas's daughter, who was fair, rich, clad in gold, embroidered raiment, and attended by a retinue of maids in waiting. But God preferred a lowly maid from a mean or small, insignificant town. Interesting. And it's sort of interesting how we think of this as we, all the artwork and everything we have. So I was thinking of just what, this is one example of, you see the Renaissance art and you say, well, this would be probably someone living at a fairly high level for that time in society. And off in the background, you have kind of some a picture of the fall, Adam and Eve leaving the garden. And you have this kind of a, it almost looks like it's part of a picture in a palace. Angelico came up with this rendition of this event. And you kind of see some of the things going on there. But at the same time, it's, you know, did it look like that? Or did it look like this? You know, I mean, you know, just, you've got all these different ways that people try to envision what was going on here. Just thinking about the privilege that Mary had, as opposed to our own situation, this is a pretty powerful verse. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He came to his own things, his own people, and his own received him not. And that wasn't apparent right then. But think about this. Mary was descended from King David. I mean, if you went traced it back far enough. So here's someone who's who, under better circumstances, could have been in a palace. Instead, she's just in this little hovel. But as many as received him, that includes each one in this room who's believed on the Lord Jesus as their Savior, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Mary was this favored one. She was the one that was going to bring the Messiah into the world, give birth to the Messiah. The one that so many Jewish mothers had been waiting, wondering, and here now she's been selected. So we have the humility, the humbleness of the circumstance, and the at the same time this privilege. You got the two things kind of side by side. Then you're going to come to how's Mary going to respond to this? At first she was troubled, and then she said, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man, since I had then not had..." So she was engaged to be married, but in that time, that engagement could last maybe a year, and during that time, there would be no intimate sexual intercourse, so that there would be no opportunity to produce a child. So this is hence Mary's question. And what's that going to do to my engagement? What's going to happen to my world? And so this is what the angel is going to say. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." Remember that tabernacle that we were just learning about just a few weeks ago? Look at that word, overshadow. If you go back to Exodus 40, and the Greek translators of the Hebrew, when they came to that chapter, and we got to verse 35, and that cloud was resting on the tent, that was the word they used, that same word, overshadow. So here, just like the Shekinah glory cloud was hovering over that tent, the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory was going to be hovering over Mary. "The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One..." This one that she's going to give birth to is going to be holy. Unlike every other human being who's born a sinner, this one, the Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now, interestingly enough, at this point, even though she has not asked for a sign, like Zacharias did, and he learned that it was not a good thing to express doubt concerning the message that was being given. In this case, it was more, in her case, it was more of an explanation that she was looking for. And so without asking for one, he's going to give a sign that's going to give her some encouragement. She says, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, also has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." So they say, this is a miracle that I am describing to you that's going to happen to you. But here's a miracle that is already in progress. And here's a way you can check it out. And so he's giving this sign. And then he gives a promise. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." How's Mary going to react? We know the words, but I mean, we take them for granted because we are so familiar. But Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant, the bondservant, servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, I think that represented a level of maturity and of faith, spiritual faith and maturity, that seemed to be way beyond her years. And I think as I look out in this audience and I see some younger people, I just say, well, it's never too early to be taken up and used by God. Here was God coming in to this young lady, a young teenager, and giving her this awesome responsibility. And here's her response. Her response in faith, and it really boggled my mind. I don't think I measure up to this. So there's the explanation. There's the fact that he said the Holy Spirit was going to come upon you. There's going to be the power of God, the power of the highest, will overshadow you. And here's going to be a holy one, the Son of God. And he gives a sign, Elizabeth, and the words, "Nothing impossible for God," and her submission. So that's just we tend to gloss over that. It's amazing, and if we can grab hold of these words, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," that's just a. It here's God who creates the universe, and then Mary's response: "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said." And then the angel left her, just like that, just like a couple minutes. 2 or 3 minutes, and this earth-shattering announcement, this thing that turned, obviously, Mary's life upside down, and it should never be the same again, but this is going to change the human race. How was Mary going to respond afterwards? Well, this next scene answers that. And I'm still not clear in my mind how a teenage girl got from Nazareth to near Jerusalem, traveled 80 miles. You're not traveling in a car. I don't know. Maybe she was with a caravan or something. I just don't. We're not told. We're not told what happened. Nor did she realize that she would be making that trip a second time 9 months later when she was very pregnant. But at this time, she couldn't wait to go and talk to Elizabeth, because this is the one person in the world who would understand a little bit about, well, what did I just hear? What just happened? It must have seemed unbelievable. So now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste. She was in a hurry. She wanted to get there as soon as possible to a city of Judah, and doesn't tell us what city it was. She entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe that was in her leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist getting an early start in his preaching. And it said there, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is an amazing encounter here. And you can be looking at this from a number of different angles. One way to look at it is that John the Baptist was the last of the prophets. John the Baptist was the last of the old covenant. And Jesus was going to be bringing in the new covenant. And so you have the two covenants meeting in this room for the first time. And the work of the Holy Spirit is in both women. And it's just like one of those events where there's kind of the room is got, the atmosphere is full of kind of electric charge. Something's going to happen. Well, one thing that's very clear from this whole event that's described, and that is that it's very important that we as believers have fellowship with one another. Here is someone who had something in common with another person, and so not just believers, but they're going through some of the same experience. One decades older than the other one. You've got a teenager. This cousin could have been as old as a grandmother or older in terms of between the two of them. So what did they have in common? They must have had something very, very, very strong link and bond. And you just see that in this encounter. One of the other things you see in this encounter is that there's very clear spiritual state of Elizabeth. Here she is, filled with the Holy Spirit, but she's had this great honor of having the forerunner, and she's going to give birth to John the Baptist, and she could have been all full of what she was going to be doing and what she was going to be going through. But instead, with Elizabeth, it was all about Jesus. It was all about him. So that's something that Aaron was bringing out last week, and it's true today as well in this passage. And that's what you find about this spiritual person. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him, and not about, and it's about the other person and not about what's going on with her. And she had plenty to be thinking about herself, but instead she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So it's just, he's focusing on the person that Mary's going to give birth to. And then she relates what just happened inside of her. there was something incredible just happened just now. And so you have this statement, and it almost is like the same thing as when suddenly the light went on with Peter, and he said to Jesus, and when Jesus was asking, who do men say that I am? Then who do you say that I am? And Peter blurts out, you're the Christ. And it's kind of like it's something that was a revelation. Well, here's a revelation that Elizabeth is giving, and she's saying these amazing things, and she's not focused on herself. She's focused on the person that Mary's going to give birth to, but also she's giving a commendation, because look at what she says right at the end here. She says, blessed is she who believed. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there in that house when Zacharias got back from his line of duty at the temple. But in all the discussion and all the writing down of notes and everything, it must have come across at some point that he got himself in trouble because he doubted the word of the angel. And so this was the result. He couldn't speak. Well, so I don't know if Zacharias was right there in the room, right in the same, within earshot of what Elizabeth was saying this, but blessed are you, for you believe, and there'll be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So, one artist rendition of what this might have been like. So you have the benefit of fellowship, you have the spiritual character of Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you have the kind of the fruit of the Spirit, not being proud, not being self-centered, all those type of things. But see, blessed are you, the fruit of your womb, mother of my Lord. She's recognizing that however important the person is that she's giving birth to, that she herself, this one that Mary's giving birth to, is my Lord. See, that took a lot of insight, spiritual insight. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So just a remarkable statement and a kind of a seal, kind of a blessing and a seal of what, something that Mary really needed, some encouragement and kind of made a seal, and it made it kind of, okay, this is a confirmation of what I've been hearing and what I've been thinking of and what I've been going through. So then, just with the few minutes we've got left, I just want to think a little bit about Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And so, here again, Mary could have been very self-centered and very, I'm so important. But instead, her focus is on the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And notice how she's, notice that humility, that submission and humility that you saw earlier, is reflected in these words. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So even though all generations are going to call her blessed, she's the maidservant, submitted to the Lord. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Now, just as you go through these words, I'm going to go through and start showing you something. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And then it finally, just that last sentence, and Mary remained with her, with Elizabeth, that is, for 3 months and returned to her house. The amount of scripture that's packed in there, and I'm going to just have to go through this real, real fast, but at some point, I'm going to put this in some kind of Microsoft Word format that you'll be able to get the, it'll be a little more manageable than what you're going to see in the next 2 minutes. So here you have just an overview of what you see in this song of hers. You have someone whose mind is just saturated with scripture. You can just see scripture all over the place. And you see her heart of humility. You see a thankful heart. You see the fact that she's really acquainted with and aware of God's dealings with the people in the past. And also, she's looking to the future, and she can trust that God will fulfill his promises. So this is the kind of a summary. So here you have, for these next 10 or so images, what you're going to have is here's this verse in Luke, or here's this phrase in Luke. Here are all the Old Testament passages that relate to this New Testament, these two New Testament words. My soul magnifies the Lord. And here, a lot of it goes back to 1 Samuel. And now, keep in mind that girls back then, they weren't taught how to read. And also, she was so poor, she would not have the wherewithal to have any kind of scroll or anything like that in her house. So this is all stuff that she had to pick up, learn from the synagogue, overhear people, maybe learning verses, whatever it is. It's just amazing how many scriptures were in her mind. Here, the 1 Samuel and the prayer of Hannah looms very large, but also various psalms. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord, for instance, in Psalm 34, verse 2. Then Isaiah, the prophet. I don't know which of these, we can't tell which of these verses she memorized, but it kind of rebukes me as to how little memorization I'm. With all the advantages I have, too, all the Bibles I have in my apartment, and how much she knew by her age, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, and the scriptures from Isaiah and Habakkuk. Which of those had she heard and put to memory? For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And here you go back to 1 Samuel and that story in 1 Samuel that she must have been very acquainted with, and these verses in Psalms. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And she must have been aware of what happened in the genealogy with Jacob and his wife Leah, and then the promise given to Abraham: all nations will call you the people of Israel, blessed, in Malachi. For he who is mighty has done great things. Here you have references back to the Psalms, and then and holy is his name, and you have the references there in 1 Samuel and Psalms and Isaiah. You can kind of see where she's been listening and memorizing. And his mercy is on them who fear him from generation to generation. So great is his mercy towards those who fear him. So Psalm 103. And then mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You kind of get this. Here she is, what, 13, 14 years old, and look at what she's learnt so far. He has shown strength with his arm, and there are several different references in the Old Testament to the arm of the Lord and how he shows his strong arm in various activities. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and the scattering of enemies found in the Psalms. And then he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. A big section out of 1 Samuel 2, verses 6 through 8. And then he has filled hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Psalm 107, verse 9. He has helped his servant Israel. And then you have these references in Psalm, Isaiah, and Micah. You can just see it goes on and on. And it took me way too long to put all this together for someone of my skill and computer anyway, just so you know. It was a big hassle. But in a way, it really, really registered with me. This person really knew her Bible. That for her, that was the Old Testament. And so what are some of these concluding lessons as we come to the end of our time here? So just scratching the surface of this rich portion of Scripture. You have so many lessons that you can kind of try and kind of just, this is amazing as you contemplate these things. The humble circumstances of the Lord's birth and how far he had to stoop. The fact that God's favor was shown to Mary and the human race. What a privilege that was for her, but then what a privilege it is for us to know Christ and to be in Christ and all the privileges we have because of what was about to happen. Just the wonder of the incarnation, and I didn't stop to try and explain it anymore because I can't handle that. the importance of fellowship, the importance of having a humble spirit, and how you could see that both in both women. And do you think that might be a reason why the Lord selected those two people as opposed to a lot of the other people? The kind of spirit they had? The knowledge of Scripture that we just saw. The knowledge of God's dealings with his people that was obviously included in that. And then faith, the trusting in God's promises. So I just bring out these three verses that we already looked at, but I just think as we part, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And we just see that emphasized in what was about to happen as the angel made that announcement. The fact that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And this is so, it continues to amaze, and it boggles my mind. I've just been trying to figure it out. And then the fact that Mary, the fact that she, at that stage in development, may it be done to me as you have said. And she was just willing to accept at face value what the angel had told her. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, and may it continue to resonate in our lives as we think about these precious words that have been recorded for us so that we might benefit from what we have heard and seen today. Let's close in prayer. Oh God and Heavenly Father, I just find it very difficult to put into words what I've been reading and what I've been contemplating these past weeks as I've been preparing for this message. Oh Lord, Thank you for coming into this world, Jesus, for coming in and becoming a baby and growing up in a sinful world, in a world in which you knew what was going to happen ahead of time, what would be the response of the people around you. Oh God and Father, thank you for sending your Son to be in the world and for the work of the Holy Spirit that was so marvelously brought these things to pass. And oh God and Father, Lord, you have seen fit to now put us all into the body of Christ as a church. And oh God, we just pray that we might benefit from the lessons that we can read and observe in a passage like this, and may it change our lives so that we might glorify Thee, O God, in the days to come. We just pray that we might be prepared for this Christmas. In spite of all the restrictions and everything that are in place, we just pray that we might have a heart that would be pleasing in Thy sight. We ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen.